course, you said Western Empire, such a star, but you actually said last start was its peaking run. You expect him to win again. Regal Power, you can't see him not running a really big race.
Probably the other horse you want to elevate in the race will be Regal Power.
Well, we put a big sizzle on that one too, and I thought, well, this is absolutely aimed at the Kingston town. And, you know, let's face it, I know it's a stable mate, but how often do you want to be on the horse that's set for the grand final as opposed to have just won its grand final?
The setup for this horse is a bit different. It's had the two runs, and that run last start, the last two sections were very high pressure in terms of how it finished off the last 800, but it was half the amount of Western Empire, like 13.2 versus 6.6. So that's a big, big difference in terms of, you know, start to finish. 28 days, the barrier trials like right on point. It's just now a couple of challenges with Regal Power. Are we going to see the Regal Power of the past? Because you know this horse can run in the fives, Ralphie, right? So it's the only runner in the field that's got any chance of getting plus five or better.
Regal Power charging at it. Western Empire. Regal Power's going to knock him off, though. It's another one for the Sir Recent White in the Kingston town. Regal Power has upset Western Empire, and he's won a Group One again. Brookings and All Fortunes.
Now on PG Podcast Network, it's time for the year-round carnival with Vince Accardi and your host, Racetrack Rolfie.
He did have the power, of course. Regal Power upsetting the favourite Western Empire to win the Kingston Town Classic. Vince Accardi from Daily Sectionals. He's a very good horse, Regal Power, but that made some punters a bit sad who took the deep odds on.
Yes. Well, these things can happen. It's the game. Probably wasn't one of Pikey's best moves, but given the conditions of the wind, perhaps he thought that was his best option, and he found himself in a situation that he couldn't overcome. And there was the possibility of flatness as well.
Yeah, well, obviously we touched on that in the podcast. You can listen to the preview podcast that we did. We weren't expecting him to get rolled, but we're expecting Regal Power to run a real bold race. So the first point is, how slow were they going? Because it did seem like though everyone was restraining. No one wanted to lead. And you mentioned that wasn't Pikey's best move, sitting wide. Should he have rolled forward? There wasn't any leader. I think only race one on the program was the only one that won.
Well, it's either that or should he have just gone out to the back like his stablemate?
Yep, just completely dead cold.
Which might have been the better move, given that there could have been a little bit of flatness in the horse from the prior run.
Yep.
Going the horse travelled 2.7 versus 5.4. Yeah, the 5.4 would have been much better because Western Empire's overall last 800 isn't inferior to Regal Power.
Yep.
But he looked for the slot in the middle. You got this awkward sort of a scenario. So if he pushed forward, he would have had to go better than benchmark. And you know that horses like Too Close to the Sun could have just kept going faster. They were just trying to dictate up front, given the conditions of the wind. And this is what's happened, Ralphie. We found ourselves in a scenario where it was the sitting duck in the lanes versus Regal Power, who was getting that cold run and getting into the fastest part of the track, which was always going to give him that slight edge. And he was able to overpower him with an 8.2 last 400.
So just go back to it's a real fundamental and one I never forget when I first started working with you about the let's call it the rule of 10, that when there's 10 lengths above benchmark and you're backing up, there's a real big chance of flatness. And this is what happened with Western Empire's big first up, not first up, but big second up explosion in the railway when he won that.
Well, it was, Ralphie. When you look at that combined last 800 metres first, and that we're talking about 12, 13 lengths above, and then we add in that first section, it's 13.2 for the first, well, you got the first 400 and then you got the last 800 combined. It's pretty heavy. And this is never easy. If it was third up, it's probably, there's a chance. I mean, it's a very lightly raced horse, and the lightly raced horses can cope a bit better, but to do it third up, 14, 16, straight to 18, it was probably lucky that that's the speed they went. Maybe if they'd gone faster, it might have been even harder.
Right. So when we let's firstly go back to the winner, Regal Power, plus four lengths above benchmark. Under the circumstances of a slow pace race, that's still a very good time, given the breakdowns that he's been able to finish with.
Absolutely. And we sort of touched on in the podcast that this was I think on the mini one on the Saturday, that this horse has got the second best IVR profile in the race, and he's capable of getting into the fives, and we needed a runner that can do that or better to even potentially match it. So a plus four, from what I could understand, I felt very confident that this was a runner that was definitely going to get above three. Whether it could get into the five range or even the four range was going to really get back down to how that race shape was going to pan out and the way the horse was going to be ridden, you know, in terms of speed. And as it turned out, he had the much better racing going into this race. Like, he had the 238 days, he had the 21 days between runs, he had the jump out at Larkin, which was very good, even though it was only a 1450 sort of a scenario. It wasn't very good in the sense that would have got any possibility of flatness or being half run short out of him. And he's going to be in a position to at least run plus three, and he's gone plus four, another length better.
They're just masters, this stable, at training for the big races. This is what we wrote about Sizzlers in Regal Power after the 6th of November. 1.5 lengths above benchmark, ranked 10th of the day, aimed at the Kingston Town this time in, and this crushing of the line second up says he's bang on target, improving from minus 0.9 first up, but with the most sound plus 5 last 400. Here, minus 4.3 at the 800 before, plus 3.9 mid-race, plus 7 last 400. This included the second best last 600, 400, 200 of the day. Didn't come up last two preps, but clearly is in good order now. 5.4 was his all-star mile figure. 5.2 was winning the 2019 railway. So this stable is just so good at aiming horses at grand finals.
They really are, and probably another horse that will probably run against Western Empire if they both join the Victorian world or Sydney, wherever they go.
Yeah, so peeling back, do you lose faith in Western Empire? Or are you just saying that that's just circumstantial on the day and you're expecting him to rebound hard to that plus six, plus seven range, which makes him as good a mile as anyone in the country?
I have no doubt that the horses come off purely because of, as it turns out, the program mapping was never favourable. It was going to be favourable if you didn't get the sort of second up run that you get. And this is something a trainer doesn't know.
Yep.
Until the event actually happens. So it's a hard one, Ralphie. But yes, do I expect the horse to rebound beyond that? For sure.
Any other hidden runs from the race? You did like Nerf Bosky, found some traffic when he was going to get some momentum at a million or one.
Yeah, I thought it was going to definitely run a place. But yes, just on where it was on the fence, just didn't work for the horse in the end. But it was very strong, Ralphie. So I'm sure it's heading in the right direction. I don't know where it was. It probably a New Year's Day big run.
But yeah, Perth Cup, yeah.
Perth Cup, yeah. So this horse has ran within half a length of expectation. And I have no doubt that the horse is going to at least improve another half length, maybe a bit more when it steps out next, because that was a perfect run. Unfortunately, just when I say perfect run for the next run. Not perfect in the scenario of what happened on the weekend to the horse.
No doubt. So in the fourth race, speaking of the Perth Cup, you did say it was a real two-horse race, and you wouldn't be surprised if Black Shadow beat Reliable Star. Well, that's a pretty solid figure there, plus two, and I dare say the wind had some impact in the sustained early speed in that race.
It did. But reliable star every chance. Just couldn't get past benchmark. I couldn't believe it. I thought, today's your day. You're going to definitely get your chance to get above benchmark. And sort of indicates to me, well, this is it. You're at benchmark. Are you going to go to the next level or not? Both horses should improve off that run if I look at what's taken place between the four and the two. And reliable star was probably the greater impact. In other words, Black Shadow's had the better run in transit. A, from the first section in terms of speed, going a half length softer. That slowdown between the four and the two was only 0.8 versus reliable stars, Ralphie, of 2.5. So maybe the win of Black Shadow, the margin was probably in the end slightly unfair, but would have still won, but both of them are going to improve.
Well, can you tell us about the fifth there? Is the wind a big impact in that situation with Massimo sharing the lead there? Because it was just Brad Ruler at his best on Bella Road.
Yeah, massive. That was obviously a massive impact. And the two runners on Bella Road and even Stage Man Ralphie, they rode the wind to perfection. They were able to get that 4 to 5 lengths cover from that lead pack, and they really used all the wind speed advantage to their advantage over the last 400 and 600 metres in particular. It was fantastic to see. Performance-wise overall, though, I don't know, Ralphie, 1.9 above IVR benchmark. A little bit disappointing, but this was the nature of the race, and that first section did cost them from going a bit faster. But overall roars, even when I look at that 3.8, it might have been two lengths down on what my expectations are, even with the conditions of the wind.
We mentioned the Williams team, but also Simon Miller has been very good at targeting horses at big races. Angelic Miss on the 20th of November in Sizzlers, 1.4 length above benchmark, ranked ninth of the day, ran to a previous PB here in April before the slowdown of 3.2 lengths from the 400 to 200. Said there's a good chance you'll now get to a new level, minus 4.3 the 800 before plus 4.9 mid-race, meant a 9 length squeeze before 0.1 last 400. Her ability to relax early, said 1400 should be no problem going forward. Well, she's won it at a terrific price, but looking at the at your IVR breakdown here, this is a really big late sprint, even no doubt wind advantage.
No, oh, it was, Ralphie. I mean, of course, out the back, saving all the energy. But when I say that, the other horse that was going at the same speed, you know, around that 12 lengths below, finished last, right?
Yeah.
So this demonstrates what you just touched on about how unbelievable that last 400 metres was. It was plus 8.2. Even the surge coming off a 12.4 lengths below IVR benchmark to almost benchmark, this is for the first 600 metres, was excellent and just unleashed with a phenomenal burst of speed. And for the horse, that sort of eclipsed what it did at Belmont, Ralphie, back in June of this year, where it went 6.4 last 400. So I was rapt to see the acceleration this horse has got over the last 400. This probably demonstrates why the horse is so effective, like even at 1,200 metres, and now out to 1,400, getting the good race shape.
All right, let's have a quick look at Pakenham there. The JB Cars rebounded to win the Pakenham Cup. What can you tell us about the way Pakenham played on the day?
Pakenham, yes. What a fantastic track, eh? I'm not going to say anything more than that, but Ralphie, firstly, when I look at the structure on the day, they did come from everywhere. You could be leading, yeah. You could be on pace, you could be midfield, you could be back. So from that point of view, fantastic. When I look at the grid lanes, the majority of winners, though, came. You had to be seven in lane 7, 8, all the way out to 10. Two runners came inside lane 7, and that was in race 4, where the horse pretty much was on that near or close enough to the fence, and in race 7. So it was about lanes, and this is a track that is about lanes. And you had to be, to be given the best chance, you really had to be 7 to 12 off the fence. So the horses that have been able to win virtually a lot closer than that to the fence, like those two races, they've probably performed better than what they were entitled to do. Like they did better than what they should have.
And in each occasion, they were pretty tight in the market. I mean, Marine One was just better than the opposition and
yes.
Obviously looked to have plenty to learn. Smoke and Romans, probably ditto. The one worth jotting down if you're going to play there this time next year, Black Shorts, the home track, Philip Stokes. Does he target this meeting?
Well, he does, Ralphie. And I know we only did an early edition, but there was a number of runners there. It was all pointed towards him, and it was just good to see that he sort of hadn't been in the best of form. It was good to see that he really got him on point for the day.
Yeah, so best of the day, defiant power there, and that's pretty much a prime example. He just sort of, he had a bowl around up the straight over 1,000 metres, clearly wasn't ready first up, month between runs. Robot Avalanche, geez, the totes absolutely smashed this horse. He kept on being back through the day, and he's pretty much returned to what he was doing this time last year. So I reckon a Standish or something like that might be perfect for him, given he handles the straight track.
Yeah, for sure. And then you've got, they had tremendous wind speed as well, Ralphie, that helped. But, yeah, this was run hard and fast. A, the track being quick. B, with the wind and the performance of the horse, you had to be in good condition to be ready to be able to do what this particular runner did. It just sort of, I guess it sort of sums up what you said about Stokesy's, Ralphie, but his first up run probably didn't allude to this sort of performance, but you know that if he gets on a dry track, that's when he's going to produce his best. And he did exactly that. And plus two, could he repeat that again? Maybe.
All right, short and sharp this week. You haven't had a chance to do Rose Hill. Hong Kong this week. Vince, are you having a look at that? I've had a couple of queries.
Ralphie, whilst we collate all the data and do all that, it's just a place where I've always been saying that I'm going to start doing some deep diving form-wise, and I just haven't done it yet.
You need to improve your work ethic. That's the problem, Vince.
Yeah, and I've been saying this for 5 years. It's terrible. And a lot of the boys that work with me, they love doing Hong Kong, and they always say, oh, use the IVRs there. It's going to be fantastic. You'll be surprised how many winners. And I go, I've only got so much money to go around. I've only got so many hours. It's pretty tough to do it on a weekend when you like a bunch of other races, but I will one day.
No doubt. Well, what you will do with your race speed profiles, we're back at Flemington, an adult track, which is good on Saturday for having a look at a good card there. And also Randwick's going to be a fantastic card with Villiers Day. So your race speed profiles via daily sectionals, more my work via racetrackralphie.com.au. And we will, of course, send our members best of the day. Sizzlers is now available for both Melbourne and Sydney. We've finished off Perth, and our next preview podcast, Magic Millions, in the new year.